This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
2 Chronicles chapter 34. Share something very brief here. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the Lord God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke into pieces and scattered them over the graves of those who had sacrificed them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altar, and so purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he torn down the altar and the Asherah poles, and crushed the idols to powder, and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan son of Azaliah and Maaseiah the ruler of the city, with Joah son of Joahaz the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah the high priest and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple of God, which the Levites, who were doorkeepers, and had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin. They entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work of the temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and the builders to purchase dressed stone timbers and joists and beams for the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The men did the work faithfully. Over them to direct them was Jehath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, Zechariah and Meshulam descended from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the work from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers. And later, it talks about the book of the law being found, and while they were cleansing the temple, they find the book of the law, and Josiah tore his robe, asked the Lord to ask people to go consult, hear from the Lord, and give him a word that judgment had been decreed against the land but will not happen during the days of his reign. In chapter 35, it talks about the Passover that he celebrated. And it says that in verse 18 of chapter 35, the Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel, and none of the king of Israel had ever observed such a Passover as did Josiah with the priest, the Levite, and all Judah and Israel who were there with the people of Jerusalem. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. It says that since the days of Samuel. So not even David did it as well as this guy did. So if you go back to chapter 34, Josiah was the grandchild of Manasseh, who for the vast majority of his life was the most wicked king Judah ever had. And that was his grandpa. And then his dad was Amon, king of Judah, who did evil just as his father Manasseh had done, except that Manasseh had repented towards the end of his life. But Josiah's dad did not. It says in Chronicles chapter 33, verse 22 and 33, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. But unlike his father Manasseh, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Amon increased his guilt. That's his father. By this account, he probably is more wicked than Manasseh, because he did everything that his fathers did, but in the end, he did not repent. So this is the background that Josiah comes into. Into his kingship. He comes in not having a godly man in his life as a dad, not having a godly man as a grandfather. Everything that he knew was just wickedness. Everything that he knew from his heritage was wickedness. However, that was not an excuse for Josiah to seek the Lord. It says here that in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the Lord, the God of his father David. At 16 years old, this young man decided that he was going to seek God. There has to come a point in a person's life where you decide that you're going to seek the Lord. What was that day for you? How old were you when you decided that you were going to seek the God of the Bible? Now, the Bible said that he walked in the ways of his father David. How did that happen? By seeking the God of his father David, which he began to do at the time he was 16 years old. We don't have control over who our father was. You don't have control over who your grandpa was. You don't have control over the circumstances of life that you grew up in. You don't have control over the circumstances of your life right now. But one thing you have control over is whether or not you decide to seek the Lord. It is up to you, completely up to you to decide, I am going to seek the Lord. And it is up to you to decide when you begin to do that. For Josiah, he was only 16 years old. I hear all these people who say seeking God is for old people and things like that. When you grow up, no. At 16 years old, he began to seek the God of his father. I hear all kinds of excuses. Oh, I'm like this because my dad was like this. I struggle with sexual immorality because that's just the way our family is. I'm a drunkard because everyone around me drunk. Oh, I'm messed up because I only was brought up by a single parent. I'm messy because my parents were messy and they never taught me how to be clean. I do this because I'm always angry because my dad was an angry man. I'm all unhappy because that's what my neighborhood was like. Now, none of those things are true. Those things might be true. However, they don't provide an excuse. You think that anyone will give an excuse like that on Judgment Day? God, I lived in sin all my life because my parents were like that. You think that excuse is going to work on that day? It won't. This young man will rise up and say, "Hey, do you know who my grandpa was? Do you know who my grandpa was? Do you know who my dad was? He was so wicked, God couldn't bear with him for 2 years as king. He took him out. And at 16 years old, I figured it out. And I began to seek the Lord, the God of my father David. And I ended up being like David, and I ended up doing things better than David had done. In fact, he did it better, at least the Passover part. He did it so much, so good that the person to compare him with was Samuel. And he's the only king of whom that comparison is made. The only one. There is no excuse that we have not to become the people that God wants us to be. And it begins with a simple decision. I'm going to seek the Lord. If you're 30 years old now, you had begun like this young man at 16, you would have 14 years of having sought the Lord in your life right now. Now, for him, when did his seeking of God produce fruit? When he was 20. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, Asherah poles, and carved idols. What do you think he got that from? From 4 years of seeking God. Beginning at 16 years old to when he was 20 years old. After a four-year journey of seeking God, and apparently he didn't have a Bible because they found the Bible in the temple later. So he probably was just praying. And I don't know what, but whatever this guy was doing, he did it for 4 years. After 4 years, God began to reveal to him what to do. And he began to cleanse the temple. As he obeyed on that part, he first began to cleanse Jerusalem of all the idols and everything that was there. His eyes began to be open. And I've often said, a lot of people come to college when they're 17, 18. I think that's the time to seek God. So by the time you graduate, you have a degree from the university. And you also have some marks that God takes you seriously. You have a degree, and you also have a solid walk with God so that you come out of it with not just a degree, but with some clarity about what God wants you to do with your life and what he wants you to do in his kingdom. For 4 years now, I hear people who say, I prayed and God didn't answer me. I sought God and nothing happened. This young man sought him for 4 years and he was only 16 years old. And listen, he was a king. He's not like we were just saying, you see how the president of the United States is busy. He was a king. He was not someone who had no responsibilities. He had things to do. He had national affairs to deal with. At the same time, he, in the midst of all that, he found the time to see God. After 4 years, God began to reveal himself to him and show him what to do. I think that one of the things that a lot of believers will regret, and I pray, I think about this for me. One of the things that I think when we get to heaven we may regret a lot will be what we would have known and what would we have received from God had we genuinely sought Him. And when He began to purge things in Jerusalem, and that's always where it will begin, God will begin to show a person the issues in his life, in his home, that are wrong. Since he was king, God showed him not just what was wrong in his life, but what was wrong in the people over whom he ruled. God will begin to show you things about your life that need to change, things that will require obedience and prompt action, and radical steps of obedience. You know, you have to keep in mind, this is a people for a whole generation, three kings now. They've been living with all these idols. And this 20-year-old young man comes up after 4 years of seeking God, and he begins to wipe all that out. People begin to throw their idols. He's breaking altars to foreign gods and destroying altars of Baals and tearing them down and so on, and making Jerusalem clean. This is a revival. And after that, when he's now 26 years old, and he not just, after some years of seeking God further, he begins to cleanse the temple of God. And in that process of repairing the temple, which the Bible says in chapter 34, verse 11, the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. He was making up for the mistakes of the people before him. Instead of using it as an excuse, he repaired the things that the kings of Judah had allowed to come into ruin. And the people under him followed. And a revival broke out. The word of God was found. God spared the land of judgment because of him. And many people were saved. In chapter 34, verse 19, let's read that whole thing in context. When the king heard the word of the law, he tore his robe. The book of the law had just been found in the temple while they were cleansing it. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Abdon son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet, to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the men who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and on its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all that their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard." Now listen to this. Because your heart was responsive, and you humble yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people. And because you humble yourself before me and tore your robe and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place and on those who live here. So they took her answer back to the king, and the king calls together the people, and they make a new covenant with God to follow him, and so on. The implication here of what this woman is saying, or what this prophetess said to them, is that normally God would have brought disaster in the days of Josiah. God would have brought disaster in the days of Josiah. But because of the way that he humbled himself and had a responsive heart, humbled himself in the presence of God, sought the Lord, that whole generation ended up being spared. What if he had not sought the Lord, began to seek the Lord at that time when he was 16 years old? It's after this that he celebrates the Passover. All this happens in that 18th year of his reign. Now, what if he had not, begun to seek the Lord? What if he just took life easy and did whatever he knew he learned from his dad and his grandpa and so on? They would have been wiped out that year. He gave Israel a whole entire generation. He gave Israel many more years. And if the king that had come after him had done the same thing, God would again would have relented and pushed it back and pushed it. And if they kept doing that, the next king and the next king, eventually God would have turned away his anger completely. This is real. This is true. And God has not changed. It doesn't matter what the background, what the circumstances, he did not come in office and I'm not trying to be political here or anything. He did not come to office and started blaming the kings before him for what he inherited and say, yeah, that's why it's so bad. No, at 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord, And from that decision that he made, God revealed himself to him, first to one degree, leading him to cleanse the city, then several years later, to cleanse and restore the temple and bring the people of God back into worshiping the Lord God of Israel. And he celebrates the Passover, like I said, like no one had done since the days of Samuel. Not even David had done it. What does this mean for us today? What are you and I doing with the God of our Father? Some of us knew Zach Fomum. And we all admire the life that he lived. And I still haven't seen anything like it. Or read anything like it. But you can read that or hear that and say, yeah, that's good. Clap for him and then move on. Or you can begin to seek the Lord God that he served. And from this passage, I think that what that passage teaches us, Josiah walked in the ways of his father David. Why? Because while he was still young, the Bible said he began to seek the God of his father David. It's that simple. Seek the God of whatever men of God you know who walk with God more than anybody you know. And begin to seek the Lord his God. And you will end up walking. God is no respecter of person. When we seek him, we find him. It doesn't matter who you are. It means for us that not just should we seek God, but we should give time to seeking God diligently. Don't seek God for 2 weeks and say, I sought him and then I didn't get anything. Go seek him for 4 years if you have to. At least this is one example. And after you've sought him for 4 years and he has revealed something to you, keep seeking him for 10 more years. And then after that, he revealed to you something else. And then seek him more. Once he shows you something, in this case, the book of the law was found. He further sought the Lord. He went to seek a prophetess and heard from God about what he had just heard. And then after that, he sought God some more by getting the people of God to make a new covenant with the Lord and celebrate a Passover. Now, that's not something that you do just one time or two times. It's a lifetime that we have to live like that. And unfortunately, this is the saddest part of this story. Unfortunately, Josiah did not continue in that way. There came a time when he decided to go fight a war that God had not called him to fight. Instead of going and seeking the word of the Lord like he had done earlier, he did not. He went to fight against a king who was on a mission on which God had sent that king. And that king told, it was a king from Egypt actually, and that king said to him, the Lord has sent me on this errand and he has told me to hurry. But he would not listen. There is a pride that can come when you grow spiritually. Maybe he thought, this is a pagan king. Who is he to lecture me about what God wants? But it was true. God told the king of Egypt to go fight the Babylonians and he told him to hurry. He said that to Josiah, but instead of him humbling himself, he did not. And so, there is a promise that God gave him that did not come to pass for Josiah. God had told him, now I will gather you to your fathers and you will be buried in peace. That did not happen for him. He did not die in peace. He died from wounds he sustained in a battle. And he was rushed back to Jerusalem. And the people of Israel lamented Jeremiah. The Bible said Jeremiah composed laments for Josiah. And to this day, all the men and women singer commemorate Josiah in the laments. That's in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 25. He wept because it was so bad that here is a man who could have spared Israel, who could have given Israel even more years of being spared from the judgment of God, but because of pride, died early. Pride cuts the lives of people early. Not listening to God, not humbling ourselves is very dangerous. It doesn't matter how well you've walked with God all the years and how good you did. You may get wiped out and completely destroyed when you stop seeking God and you begin to act in the flesh. This whole stories of the king of Israel in the book of Kings and in the two books of Kings and the two books of Chronicles and in the two books of Samuel are things to always keep in mind, to read, and because they tell us the journeys, the various spiritual journeys of people. And part of it fits yours. One of these people there, in one of their stories and one of their stages of their lives represents where you are. And you want to make sure that you learn from it and that you take heed that you don't be spiritually lazy, that you seek the Lord your God diligently, and that you keep listening to him along the way. Amen.